Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, this is the Shame Free Zone, and I'm your host, Veronica Monet. We've got an interesting topic tonight. We're going to be talking to America's vasectomy coach. No, he's not a doctor, and he's not going to snip on you, but he does have a very interesting story to tell. And I'm just going to read a little bit of it here. He lives in New Jersey with his wife and three kids. And apparently, his wife became concerned that there might be a fourth kid in there somewhere, and so she kind of started showing herself to be a little bit averse to having sex. And Rob wasn't real happy with that arrangement, so he went in search of some alternatives. And it set him on this whole journey that, you know, he had no knowledge of vasectomies before, and it wasn't necessarily an option that they had talked about prior to this, you know, coming to this junction in their life. But anyway, he realized that a lot of women were, you know, didn't like some of the birth control options that are out there, and found themselves kind of avoiding sex instead of, you know, their husbands getting vasectomies. So anyway, he said that the internet contained a glut of scattered information on vasectomies, and there was nothing he could find in print that addressed the procedure from a typical married guy next door point of view. So he decided that not only was he going to get his vasectomy, but he was going to join a ton of women's chat rooms, float vasectomy surveys out online, interview MDs and PhDs and noted sex therapists, find men and women to tell him their successful vasectomy stories, hire a graphic arts firm in Indonesia, write nightly till 1 a.m. for 5 months, edit, write, and rewrite some more, get his urologist, Dr. Eric Seaman, to write the foreword, find an amazing publisher who believes in his book, team up with a great website design company, get endorsements from noted experts and other authors, use his kids' crayons and construction paper to crudely design his book cover and logo, and finally put the whole thing together as the first ever ultimate vasectomy guide for couples. So, as America's vasectomy coach, and I think he's the only one, Rob Hunter finds himself with a lot more energy, focus, creativity, and ambition, and he hopes his book enlightens, educates, and entertains you enough to put aside your irrational vasectomy fears and join the revolution to finally get snipped. And Rob, welcome to the show.
Well, Veronica, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate this opportunity to be here.
Well, I wanted to read that paragraph that you had written, because I know this topic probably sounds both fearful, you know, probably kind of frightening for people, and possibly boring. Like, oh, what is that, a medical procedure? Why would I want to listen to an hour-long show about a vasectomy? But you've got a great sense of humor.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. And let me tell you, there's a lot of the reason I did this, and the reason I wrote the book, and thank you for the great introduction, by the way, is there is a ton of men out there who are simply clueless on the procedure. And, you know, I was one of them. I was one of them, and like you said in my bio there, Veronica, you know, we had three kids, and my wife was she was terrified of getting pregnant again. And I'll be honest, I mean, we were relying on old push, pull, and pray, like millions of other couples are in the U.S. And the word vasectomy I knew what it was. I just was like, there's no way I'm going to do this, because I was clueless, misinformed, stubborn, uneducated. And I was just a typical guy. Like, there's no way. I heard about a guy who did it once. It didn't work. And I heard horror stories. I did some research online. And then, a few of my buddies had gotten it done. I said, you know what? I'm going to do some more research on this. And the more research I did on it, the more men and women I met online who just, especially guys, were in the same position as me. They have a lot of kids. They don't have kids anymore, but they're not going to get a vasectomy because they're terrified that it's going to somehow wreck their sex life. I mean, in the book I go over a lot of things that it does not do. And I just said to myself, and I said to my urologist, who I know you mentioned his name is Dr. Seaman, and I said, you know what, I'm going to write a book. And I got him to write the introduction and the foreword. And he said, you know what, Rob? He goes, you got to put the word out there that this procedure is safe, effective, quick, and the benefits are tremendous.
Well, can we just have a little humorous moment about your doctor's name, Seaman?
This is the best part. I'm a writer now, but I do my full time job is I work in pharmaceutical sales, and I had known Dr. Seaman for a number of years. He was a urologist that I used to call on with some testosterone products that I sold. And he had a great sense of humor. And when I went to him for a vasectomy consultation, the first thing out of my mouth was, he welcomed me back. He hadn't seen me in about a year or two because I had switched companies. And I said, Dr. Seaman, I said, you got to have a name on the front cover of a book. And he's like, Rob, everyone tells me that. And, He used to train with Dr. Oz, Mehmet Oz, who's got his own show now, and he said,
oh, yeah.
Mehmet, he was with Dr. Oz way back when, a surgery resident at Columbia University in the city, in New York, and he said, Mehmet used to tell me the same thing. And I said, well, you know what, and he's got a great sense of humor, so, and he's a smart guy, he's a vasectomy universal specialist, and I said, listen, I'm going to do something, and if you write the foreword, your name's going to be on the front cover. So he had a great sense of humor about it, too.
Well, what a great pairing you guys have made, too.
Yeah.
Now, you used the crayons to figure out the graphics of your book. Does it have nice pictures? Because, that might be fun.
Well, I got a creative spark in me, and I sat down one night with my kids' crayons, and I wrote, I know the book has to be had the word snipped on the front cover. So I said, well, what better way to to get that word out there than a pair of scissors as the two P's? I literally just drew it, and then I searched online. I found people to actually do the graphic a lot better than I did. I threw the sperm in there because the book, it's humorous, but it's clinical at the same point. There's a lot of great information in there on how the procedure is actually performed, and there's a history of vasectomies from 100 years ago up until now, and there's a lot of personal experience from psychologically what I went through, physically what I went through on the table, and there's a lot of stories in there from other couples, men and women, who I found online, and they sent me their stories. So they're like the vasectomy advocates, like myself.
Well, it brings up an interesting point, which is, sorry about that. Technical difficulties at this end.
I can hear you.
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But the whole idea of birth control.
Yeah.
And, I think the idea that maybe some of the birth control methods that are out there are, dangerous for a woman's health. And it oftentimes put the burden on the woman, so her body kind of has to bear the brunt of that. Was that something that you found women were talking about in the chat room?
Oh, yeah, totally. And this had started from my wife, who years ago was on the pill like many women and just had bad side effects. But in all these chat rooms, all these women were just sick and tired. Not only were they having 2, 3, or 4 kids, which they had planned, but they were sick and tired of remembering to take the pill every night or having an IUD or Mirena inserted into them. And I was talking to one woman a few weeks ago in a chat room, and I said, you've got a foreign object inside of you so you can have sex with your husband and not get pregnant. And it hit home with her. And she's like, Rob, I'm going to convince my husband to get a vasectomy. So aside from that, the condoms, I mean, I met numerous guys online who are just, and I'm 42. These guys are my age. They're, you're going into CVS to buy condoms, you know, at age 42, you have three kids, you're still using condoms like you're going into a college frat party. You know, you're going to CVS. And it's so funny because a lot of guys identify with that. And then I met women who were like, you know what? I can't use the condoms. I'm allergic to them. So there's, if you look at any birth control methods, Veronica, and, you know, I'm obviously a vasectomy advocate, but if you look at any other birth control method, there's a side effect somewhere. Somewhere with one of these things. Or if there's no side effect, it's, some of this stuff is cumbersome. You know, you got to remember to take the pill. You have to have the condom on right. It might break. You know, there's side effects from the IUDs. Now you got the skin patch and the shot. So in my mind, once I got this done, I started talking to a lot of women online. I said, listen, this is the way to go. Because, you know, for a simple insurance copay and 30 minutes on the table in the doctor's office, you're done. That's it, you know, for life.
Just staying focused a little bit longer on the risks to women's health, I'm thinking about, like, you know, with a condom, of course, there's a reduction in the pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes couples feel like it's not as intimate because they're not sharing bodily fluids.
Right.
And you've got this piece of latex between you. And then if you use something like non-oxynol 9, now that's been linked to an increased risk of transmitting HIV. It's also... Sometimes creates a pH in the vaginal tract, which seems to invite yeast infections. And so that has health risks as well as being messy and smelly.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you are using the pill, of course, you've got an increased risk of heart disease, blood clotting, and certain forms of cancer. So, a lot of these things really are distasteful, and most of the health risk and discomfort is borne by the woman, except, and of course, in the case of the condom, the man's usually the one who feels like he's lost some sensation. I would think that all of those would be great selling points for getting people to get vasectomies.
And that's why they definitely are, Veronica. And that's why I geared the book as a guide for couples. I mean, I could, you know, the book could have been geared strictly for men. But, you know, if you look at the women, I mean, women go through enough with childbirth. I mean, especially with multiple kids. My wife, we have three. Two of them are 18 months apart. So it's traumatic. So in my mind is, why should a woman, if you're done having kids and you and your husband have agreed, okay, we have two or three kids, why should the woman still go through the potential side effects of birth control for the rest of her life? See what I mean? So that's why it's time for us to step up as guys and be like, you know what? You know, let's get this done. You know, we impregnate you. We don't carry the child for 9 months. We don't have the delivery. And you know what? Unless we're using a condom, all the birth control methods are the woman's doing something. They're the ones doing it. It's either the pill, the shot, the patch, the Mirena, the IUD, whatever it might be. I wanted to gear it towards finally time for guys to take the responsibility and get this done.
Well, you know what else occurred to me here?
Yeah.
First of all, let's talk about another stumbling block here, which a man's manhood. I think a lot of men are concerned that if they get a vasectomy, they're not going to have as much testosterone, or they won't. They think about getting their dogs fixed. They're afraid that they're going to get fixed. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, that was me. That was me. I was typically, I'm like, I'm going to lose my testosterone. I got educated. Here's the bottom line. It does absolutely nothing to decrease your testosterone levels, because if you look at the procedure from the clinical point of view, you're doing nothing to the testicles. The testicles produce the testosterone. All you're doing is snipping or cutting the vas deferens. And the vas deferens, I was telling a woman online, what that's like is that's simply a tunnel. It's just a tunnel that the sperm go through. And all you do is you cut the tunnel in half. You still produce sperm, and you still produce testosterone. You just, the sperm get absorbed back into the body, so you're not going to lose any sex drive. You still have the sex drive, so you're not decreasing testosterone. You do has nothing to do with making you impotent. some guy was talking about floppy erections. It does nothing remotely to decrease anything with erections, orgasm, sensation. The only thing it does do is the volume you ejaculate drops about 5%. That's basically it. And that 5% is the sperm, because the 95% of your ejaculate is seminal fluid, and 5% is sperm. So the only physical thing, and you really can't notice it, it's 5% goes down in the volume that a man ejaculates. That's pretty much it. Otherwise, your sex drive is, and I gear this in the book, the sex drive actually goes up, because psychologically, you no longer have the fear of getting your wife pregnant. So your sex goes up. You can have sex whenever you want. So psychologically, your drive is going to go up, if that makes sense.
Well, yes, absolutely. I've heard the same thing happen for women sometimes, not all women, but some women, postmenopausal, when they've stopped being able to get pregnant, their sex life will improve a lot, because they're not worried about getting pregnant anymore.
Same sort of thing. There's a study out there, too. I referenced it in the book, that shows 79% of women with a man who's had a vasectomy show a greater increase in sexual spontaneity and sexual arousal. And 73% of men who've had vasectomies say the same thing. So there is some evidence out there that shows this. But most guys I've spoken to online, and just, you know, from contributing to the book, and most urologists will tell you that guys do report an increase in sex. And I'm sure the women they're with is the same way, because the fear is gone. The fear of pregnancy is gone. So you open up a whole new door of, you know, intimacy. You're almost like what it was like before you had kids.
Amazing.
You know?
Utterly amazing. So what about global warming? Have you tied this into that yet? Because I'm going to do it for you.
No, but if there's a way to do it, I'll figure it out.
Oh, well, I've already figured it out for you.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. The planet is overcrowded.
Right.
And global warming is caused by too many people. I mean, ultimately, that is the problem. We wouldn't be raising so many cattle if there weren't so many people to feed. We would not, you know, have so many cars if there weren't so many people that want to drive them. We wouldn't be cutting down so many trees if we didn't have to build so many houses to house so many people. So if there's something that we can do to reduce the population growth, then we have a better chance of not running out of water, not running out of food, and not completely wiping out all the resources on this planet just so we could survive.
You know what? You're hitting the nail on the head with that, Veronica, and the countries of India and China, as we know, were grossly overpopulated. And through the research I did, India, in the 1970s, they were trying to control population so much, they had vasectomy camps set up where men in the hundreds would go get a vasectomy, and they'd be incentivized with either a gun permit or cash to get a vasectomy.
Wow.
To decrease the population, because there was no more room, and then, you know, for some of the reasons you just said, water, food, whatever. But India was big in the 1970s in India.
Well, and you know what they're doing now in India?
No.
But this is hilarious. You know, the highest birth rates are in countries that are low income and not educated. So the higher your level of education and the higher your level of income, the lower birth rate your country or your demographic will experience. And that's presumably because if you have an education and money, then you have found other things to take up your time besides just having sex. But they also found that late-night television has a deleterious effect on the birth rate. So India, it has a program where they are trying to get satellite and cable TV to everyone.
No
because
kidding.
They want couples to be staying up late at night watching The Tonight Show instead of having sex and making more babies.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
I mean, that's unbelievable. I didn't know that. I mean, I thought the vasectomy camps were funny, but this is even better.
Yeah, it's cable for everyone.
Wow.
A cable for everyone.
That's
so
crazy.
So you know what? It seems like there should be some way for you to capitalize on that too, and go, hey, you know, for the quality of the relationship. I mean, this
yeah.
is actually kind of a sex negative solution that they have found, and I'm all for anything that's going to work because I think we're really pushing our limits as far as being able to sustain human life on this planet. So
right.
if it takes cable TV to do it, great.
Mm-hmm.
But as a sexologist, of course, I think that's very sad because we're not encouraging people to connect with each other and have more sex. We're encouraging them to have less sex. And
yeah.
it's really quite sad that that tends to be the solution always. It's like, just say no, just watch TV, just take a cold shower. You have this perfect solution, which is just get snipped and then have all kinds of wonderful sex.
That's it in a nutshell. It really is. And that's why, you know, I wanted to demystify and debunk all these myths and rumors around this process, you know, for the average guy like me, married with two or three kids. But you're totally right. I mean, it's basic human instinct to have sex. It just is. So, you know, if you don't want to get someone pregnant or you have enough kids, you know, you have to use man-made objects to stop that, or pills, whatever it might be. So why not do this? The psychology, and this is speaking from personal experience, Veronica, the psychology is the hardest part because it's very difficult for a guy, at least for me it was, and some of the guys that I know who've had it done, and guys I've met online, it's extremely difficult psychologically to go through this process. Physically it's easy. You're in and off the table in 30 minutes, but psychologically it's like, wow, you know, it's a big deal. It was for me. So if you can get over that, the rest is easy. It really is.
Well, let's talk about that. First of all, rather than talking about the solution right off the bat, let's talk about what you went through.
Yeah, well, like any typical guy whose wife is like, okay, we have enough kids, we have to do something about this, and she wasn't going to get a tubal ligation because that's a, you know, her body's already been twisted apart by three kids. She said, this is it. I'm going to get it. And I agreed with her. I did the research. But one of the things that I sort of mentioned way back when we started, you know, half hour ago, was being a pharmaceutical rep, I used to call on these urologists. And one of them, about 7 years ago, invited me in to watch a vasectomy. And I said, okay, let's go. I'll check it out. So I put on some scrubs. I go into the office, and this was before the latest procedures were around. This was the old-fashioned one called the traditional method, where literally the guy had two giant knitting needles, and he sliced the guy's scrotum and pulled out his vas deferens and snipped it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So you can picture that. So I was about 4 feet from this procedure in scrubs, and I had told the guy at the table I was an NYU medical student, when I was really a pharmaceutical guy just watching a procedure. I almost passed out and threw up. I left the room, and I sat down in the doctor's lounge, and the nurse comes in. She's like, Rob, are you okay? And I'm like, I had this reaction where I've never fainted in my life. But just watching that, seeing that is ingrained in my head, and that was why psychologically for me, years later, after I got married and had kids, I was very not going near, I was just very terrified of the whole thing. I'm like, this, because it looks so painful, and just visually, it was brutal. I mean, it was almost barbaric and medieval to watch this. And for me, you know, psychologically, I was like, there's no way. There's no way. And, you know, but what actually happened was, after we had our second kid, my wife had said, let's do the vasectomy. I stopped. You know, I was worrying about it for so long, Veronica, I never got it done. My wife got pregnant with our third. And that's
wow.
when I realized I had to get it done, because my stupidity, uneducatedness, whatever you want to call it, I was misinformed about it because I had seen this. We had sex, push, pull, and pray, and she got pregnant with our third. And that's what said, you know what, I don't care if I saw this. You know, 5 years ago, I got to get this done because I can't have any more kids. Our house isn't big enough. But from a lot of these guys that I met online and a lot of friends of mine who had it done, all of them went through the same thing. Like, whoa, let me do the research, and, you know, you're basically making yourself, well, you are, you're making yourself sterile. That's it. It's a huge decision to make. You know, it's not an easy decision. It's not like, yeah, I'll get it done, no big deal. You know, anybody who says that is lying. It is a big deal because you go through a lot as a guy. You know, your virility, your manhood, all this stuff, and it's like, wow, if something ever happens, if, God forbid, my wife dies, can I have it reversed? And, you know, I go into that in the book. But, psychologically, it's a tough decision to make. And that's why you got to get informed about it. If you're not informed about it, you're going to keep putting it off and putting it off, and then your relationship's going to suffer as a result.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't help but wonder if this whole thing about pregnancy and birth control doesn't actually become an issue for couples more than they may even be aware of. You know, what they've, like, for instance, when I was working as an escort, 9 times out of 10, the guy that'd walk in through the office door, I would say, "So, when was your second child born?"
Right.
And they'd look at me really confused and go, "Just this year? Why?" Because it's child number two.
Yeah. Exactly.
Child number two. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. The woman's body's taken a beating. She's tired. She's got to, you know, double duty now with two kids. And a lot of men are not, even though they're helping out, they're still not really doing their 50% of the housework or child care.
Right.
But, you know, the other thing I really think, and this came up a lot, I was thinking, oh, my wife has just lost interest in sex. And I'm thinking, is it any wonder? She's passed a watermelon through her vagina
yeah.
twice now from
yeah.
having sex with you. Maybe she doesn't want to have sex with you.
That's a great point. Yeah. That's a very good point.
So, you know, I think this is another thing that's really just like, you know, even if women aren't tired of the birth control, they're obviously, if they've had children, the birth control hasn't always worked. I met a woman who got pregnant on the pill.
It's so funny you said that. Last week, a friend of mine called me, and his wife got pregnant. She's been on the pill. They have two kids. She got pregnant, and she's been taking the pill. And she might have missed a day or two. Who knows? But he called me up, and he couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
And you know, from what your point was before about, you know, you said to the guy, you know, when was your second child born? And, you know, I can identify with that because, you know, once the kids come, and it's any married couple with kids will tell you, yeah, of course your sex life is going to decrease because you've got your kids, especially little ones, you know, and you just, you're tired, you don't have the time for it, but there's a period where that stops after a while as the kids get older. So, you know, naturally, if you're a married couple with little kids, yeah, your sex life will slow down a bit, obviously. It just,
it's just
nature, because you're constantly with the, you know, you're doing things, you're constantly doing stuff, you're just tired. But once that period goes away, after a year or two, whatever it is, I mean, there's absolutely no reason in the world, unless there's other issues going on, money or stress, whatever it may be, there's absolutely no reason in the world a married couple with children should not be experiencing the sex and the intimacy that they once did prior to the kids coming along. Okay, maybe they have to be quieter. Maybe they got to pick and choose the times because there's now kids in the house. And there's, you know, there's ways around that, and there's all sorts of things you can do. But, you know, now there's kids there, there's having sex less, and, you know, why should the woman, I always go back to the woman because I sympathize with you guys, I empathize with you guys as far as what you go through with pregnancy and all and the birth control and all that stuff. But that's why the whole book is geared towards let's have the guy step up and do something so the couple can benefit, the woman and the man, and get back to, you know, the sex that once was there, you know, before the kids came along.
Well, I think it sounds marvelous, but let's talk about the man who's, you know, this happens for a lot of people now. We've got something called serial monogamy. So people will marry maybe in their 20s. And that marriage lasts 5 to 10 years, and they get a divorce, and they get married again. And they're still within their procreative years. And one of the sentimental things that people have is, like, they want to have a baby with that person. You know, it's like, I've already had babies with this other person, but I want to have a baby with this person. And you see it all the time. You know, they bring in the children from the previous marriages, and then they set about having the baby that kind of like cements the new marriage, because this is the baby we had together.
Right.
So I would think that some guys would be thinking, if I get, you know, a vasectomy, that I will never be able to change my mind, and what if this isn't the last wife I'm going to have, and what if I end up wanting to have start another whole family again in my 40s?
Yeah.
So what would you say to those guys?
Well, here's the thing, and that's why I always preface this, that when you get a vasectomy, it's make the decision where it's final. Like, this is it. You know, this is it. It's a big decision to make, and once you get it, know that it's permanent. But, you know, things happen. Divorces happen. Spouses pass away. Things do happen. You can get a reversal. Here's the deal with vasectomy reversals. Number one, they are not 100% effective. They got about a 70% effective rate. What that means is, obviously, if you've had a vasectomy and you get it reversed, you've got about a 70% chance that you're going to get your new your wife or your new spouse, whoever it might be, pregnant. So it's 70% effective. Number two, it is not covered by insurance, which is huge for some people. It is a 2 to 3 hour microsurgery, so it's a long process. It's not 30 minutes on a table and you're done. And it can cost anywhere between $8,000 to $14,000. So financially,
say that again. $8,000 to $14,000.
Wow. You'll see. Yeah, you'll see. Some physicians do it for less. Some do it more. But the top vasectomy reversal specialists are charging top dollar. It could be as high as $15,000. But insurance does not pick it up.
Well,
okay?
No wonder the wealthier people have fewer children.
There you go. There you go.
So, hey, I mean, my God. I mean,
yeah.
Who's going to be able to do this?
It's right. So, number one, it's not 100% guaranteed. Number two, it's very expensive. You're going to have to open up your wallet. And number three, the later you wait to have a reversal done after your initial vasectomy, the lower your chances are that it's going to work. And I'll give you an example.
Okay,
let me
clarify this again, because I think I got confused. Oh, we've got a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Who's this?
My name is Constant, and I'm calling from New York.
Hey, Constant, welcome to the Shame-Free Zone. Do you have a comment or maybe a question for Rob Hunter, our vasectomy coach?
Well, I think this is definitely a refreshing topic. I was lobbying my husband for years to have a vasectomy, and when he finally did, it was the best thing that ever happened to our relationship. Because when I was having the children, my life was being put on hold. He was moving forward. I had to start over so many times after each child that it was becoming annoying. So I felt like I needed to have some kind of reward and release. And if it had to be in the bedroom, it had to be in the bedroom.
Well, and when you say reward, you mean before you could actually start enjoying sex again?
Exactly. I mean, I have to enjoy something. I was trapped with the kids. I adore my children. But, you know, I have a life. I have an identity. And until I could go back to what I wanted to do or to be totally involved in what I wanted to be involved in, I needed to have at least my relationship be fun and adventurous. And so it was just one of those deals. And I basically told my husband nothing was going to happen unless he did something about it. Because I've done enough. I've done the birth control. I've done all that other stuff. He needed to step up.
Well,
and
now, how much
he did.
Constance, how much resistance did your husband pose as far as getting a vasectomy? Did he have any concerns? And if so, what were they?
He was highly uninformed about it, totally ignorant, because he talks to his friends at the club or whatever, and they tell him that he is just not going to be able to perform properly, or his penis basically is going to fall off or something. And, you know, they called him, you know, not man enough, or, you know, it's not the man's responsibility. That's what women were made for, and so on. So basically, he didn't have a lot of advocates, and nobody really, if anybody did have it, nobody admitted to it, you know. So there was a lot of resistance. And culturally speaking, you know, it wasn't, you know, we have a strong Italian background, so it was not something that's really totally accepted. You know, you're not man enough, why would you do that, blah, 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 on and on. So basically, it wasn't something that was easy for me to convince him. But it was very important to me, and he came to realize it, thankfully. And once he did do it, he realized how silly he was for not really, you know, doing it sooner, because it's so much wasted time.
And now you guys, you have a much better sex life today?
Absolutely, because, you know, one of the things about our relationship is how much we enjoy each other's company, you know, and to be able to recapture that without, with one less thing to worry about. Yeah, we have to worry about the kids sleeping and so on, but at least it's one less thing to worry about, and we don't have to be inhibited that way, even if it's a quickie. At least it's a fun, exciting quickie, and it's over, and we can go back to our normal life.
Oh, I can imagine your quickies are fun and exciting. isn't that the worst thing about a quickie is that all of a sudden you're in that passionate moment and, birth control, where's the birth control?
Exactly.
Well, marriage doesn't have to be so serious. I mean, there has to be some perks to being married other than the family and the love and the partnership. I mean, you know, one of the perks of being married is you have that free sex. You know, you don't have to worry about diseases, hopefully. You don't have to worry about anything else. You can be yourself. You can be free in the bedroom. And, you know, it's with the person that you want to share your life with. So it's hopefully safe, you know, and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Constance, you just sound like a real, you know, fiery woman who knows what she wants and how to get it. There's, of course, some women out there that might be listening today that, I'm not real quite sure how they would broach that topic. Do you have any tips for women who may not be quite as powerful personality-wise as you are?
Well, for one thing, I would definitely get reasonable information, you know, where it's not going to put the guy on the defensive, you know, and maybe talk about, make a romantic dinner and talk about all the benefits, you know, and all the things that a woman goes through with her body besides sex. I mean, my husband really felt bad for me because I went through a period of time where I couldn't figure out which birth control worked for me. I was going on an emotional roller coaster. And you know, the side effects are real. So that was one concern for my husband. He didn't like me to be so distressed and so upset about it. But I also promised him all sorts of wild rewards, you know? I got like a sex coupon book, and I promised him all sorts of dirty, nasty things if he did it.
Oh my God, that's a great idea! That's a fabulous idea, Rob. You should have a sex coupon book in the back of your book.
Actually, you know what, I Constance, I think I'm gonna have to steal your idea. It's a great idea.
Yes, definitely. I got a million of them. Mostly, my husband and I know he loved me. I know he wanted me to be happy, and I did have a couple of pregnancies that took their toll on my body that didn't leave me in a good place. So, I mean, that was something that worked for us, and I told him I would be very private and very discreet. I wouldn't discuss it with anybody. It would just be between him and I, and, you know, part of our own personal intimate relationship. Nobody has to know. I wouldn't bring it up in front of his drinking buddies or, at poker games or whatever. And it would just be something private between he and I. Nobody really needs to know. It's nobody's business.
Yeah, no kidding. So it does sound like loss of masculinity. The fear of losing one's masculinity is a very real threat for a lot of men there. Is that what you have found to be so, Rob?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, and even for personal experience, I mean, that's just a hard thing for a guy. It just is. I mean, we're wired like that. It's like, well, you're doing something below the belt that's painful and I'm not going to be able to procreate. That's a bad thing. You know, that's how we think. And
those attitudes can be so entrenched that guys won't even get their dogs fixed.
No, I'm sure.
It's like their dog's testicles is an extension of their own testicles or something.
I'm sure there's guys out there like that, but the you feel emasculated and it's but you know, like cool.
Well, that's the fear. That's the fear. You thought you were going to be emasculated, but you weren't, right?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, you know, it's, you know what? As soon as it was over and it was done and my wife was there and, you know, we were driving home, I'm like, you know what? I'm so glad this is done because it was just, it really was not a big deal. And once I was there getting it done and talking with Dr. Seaman, I just realized, I'm like, why didn't I do this sooner? It's almost like you're just playing mind games with yourself. And what Constance was saying, what her husband went through, exact same thing I went through. Same exact thing. Same thing. And I think there's, you know, there's a lot of guys out there who are probably take years to get this done. And, you know, hopefully we can enlighten them not to take years, but just to get it done, you know, sooner than later.
Well, it sounds like people would actually be having a lot more happy sex. Constance, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Can you tell the men of America about your husband's masculinity and virility after getting his vasectomy?
Well, I have to tell you, after he milked it. That's the kind of husband I have, but whatever. You know, after all the sports and the TV and whatever, he was never more attractive to me because I knew I could just do whatever I wanted to do. And it felt like we were dating, except it was better because I didn't have to worry about getting pregnant before we got married or an unwanted pregnancy. And it's just, I feel like I want to be near him all the time. I just, you know, he wants to be near me. And he actually is kind of more confident because he feels like he did something great. And we're having the time of our life. And our kids are not even out of the house yet. Why should I wait till I go through menopause in order for me to have this kind of fun with my husband? You know? So it is actually really exciting. He's just so attractive, only because he did something so wonderful for me. And I felt like, okay, he understood mildly the plight of women, of having the babies, losing our figure temporarily, and it doesn't come back right away, and just the children and how we have to put our needs on the back burner. I just felt like with that single act of love among many, but I feel like that's one of the biggest ones he's done in our married life for me so far. In that single act of giving up a self or thinking of me and putting my needs first, you know, it's just so attractive, period. You know, I feel like I've married to the greatest guy ever. So I think that's part of it. You know, it's part of the give and take of our relationship.
Wow. I hope the men are getting a chance to listen to this because your enthusiasm, you sound like you're probably more in love with your husband now since you got a vasectomy than you were before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely think it's a new chapter in our married relationship. And again, I don't have to wait for menopause to have worry-free relations with my husband. So, you know, I'm really happy about that. But I'm sorry to have to cut the show. My little girl needs to go to the bathroom and I have to take her. And my husband's away with it.
Constance, you're fabulous. Thank you so much for sharing your enthusiasm and your joy with us.
Thanks, Constance.
Thank you so much. Wait for a copy of the book.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Rob, how could she get a copy of the book?
Well, she can go to www.vasectomycoach.com. The book is right there, and if you type in, Constance, the word get snipped in caps and capitals on the promo code, you get a discount. So it's vasectomycoach.com.
Great. Thank you so much. Good luck.
You got it.
Thanks for calling, Constance.
Thank you.
So I'm imagining, Rob, that you probably hear a lot of this from women all day long.
Yeah, especially now since I'm involved in these chat rooms and with Facebook and, you know, the blog and whatnot. She sounds like she should have her own radio show. She's a fireball. I mean, I have heard from stories very similar to what she just said, to what Constance just said, that their husband got the vasectomy, their sex life is better, the two of them are more intimate, and there's a stronger bond there that, you know, maybe was there years and years ago before the kids, but once the kids come, you know, it's just, you know, everything gets put aside because the kids come first, obviously, but what she was just saying is definitely echoing other women I've spoken to.
Well, she sounded like, it sounded like it was absolutely changed her whole life. It sounded like it was probably something that had saved her marriage, even.
Did she said something interesting that other women have said to me before online, that she felt as if, you know, she had the kids, that, you know, her needs were put on the back burner, more or less, and she wasn't moving forward with her life. Yet her husband was. So she had to put things on hold, and I've heard that from other women as well. So when she said that, you know, he finally got the vasectomy, it was a very big act of, you know, it was attractive, and it was an act of love. The bond that they have now is, you know, probably stronger than it was before, but it's not uncommon, from what I've found from my research and from speaking to women, you know, exactly what Constance was saying. It's not uncommon for other women to be feeling the same way.
Well, yeah, and it almost seemed to me like, but it's kind of a surprising thing that she wanted to have sex. I am wondering how many men out there think their wives have lost interest in sex, and when in fact their wives have lost interest in getting pregnant.
That's a great point. I never thought of that. That's a very good point. And you know, isn't there evidence out there that shows that as women, you know, I guess in their early, sexually, they peak like in their 30s, late 30s or something?
Well, actually, the story goes 40s.
40, okay.
Yeah, they've always said women peak sexually at 40. I, as a sexologist, I like to teach the idea that we're having active sexuality from the womb before we get born.
Right.
You know, we've documented orgasms in utero.
Okay.
And hopefully until our deathbed. I think if people were having orgasms, you know, when they were facing death, that it would be a lot more pleasant and holistic for them. So
sure.
I don't like to say, oh, yeah, okay, well, because that original research basically said men peak at 17 and women peak at 40. Well, that's kind of dismal for men, and I don't believe that.
Yeah.
But
I don't think that's true at all.
Yeah.
You know, listen, 600,000 vasectomies are performed in this country every year in the U.S. That's an estimate, about 600,000. So those are plenty of guys out there who are, or maybe they're peaking now. Who knows? Because you know, they can have all the sex they want with their wives, and their wives are probably peaking as well.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, another interesting thing that Constance brought up was the idea that her birth control methods were causing mood swings. So, I mean, how many men do you hear complain about how moody their wives are and, oh, you know, she wants to have sex, she doesn't want to have sex, you know, I never know what she wants. And then I wonder how much of that might actually be attributable to birth control methods, which are hormonally based. So whether you're using a Norplant or a birth control pill or the patch, anything that uses hormones can really wreak havoc with your emotional landscape as well. And,
sure.
and it's kind of ironic when you think about it, because hormonally based birth controls is actually there so that to try to facilitate sex, but it could possibly be causing there to be less sex because, you know, you're emotionally distraught and don't feel good.
Yeah, you know what? I bet if there was some way to study that, I bet there's a relation. There would have to be.
Well, it's really, really an eye-opening thing. I mean, you know, I love you, Rob, and I love your book. You know that. This is the second
Thanks.
Time I've had you on the show. But hearing from a woman like Constance really put a whole new spin on this topic for me, because I did not realize how much distress women were under as far as birth control and pregnancy.
It's you know what, and obviously I'm not a woman, but I would think it's very common. And, you know, my wife went through the same thing. She was on the pill, maybe two or three different kinds when we first met, and then when we got married before our first son was born. And the side effects were just the moods, the weight gain, it was crazy. So she went through this stuff, and then we used condoms for a while, which didn't really, that wasn't any fun.
No, as a woman, I've used condoms professionally for years, and I know how to do it very well and create a lot of pleasure for my partner. But in my own personal sex life, can't stand them.
Yeah. Yeah, I, you know what? That's why I said in the beginning of this conversation, and I mentioned it in the book, and I said to many guys too, when you're at this age, this part of the game, you're married with kids, whatever, it's, you're buying condoms like you're back in college. I always say to myself, it's almost like you're back in school hoping to hook up at a party. And that's why I kind of don't get guys my age with kids using, I got, my best friend uses them. I said, how do you do that? What if your kids are with you at CVS, you're buying a pack of Trojans? How does that work? You know? I don't get it. But yeah, there's no, what you just said. I mean, we had them, my wife and I used them for a little bit. It was like, she's like, I can't do this. I'm like, I can't either. You know?
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Now, a couple of times, you know, for yeast infection or whatever, I've used condom when I was married, and we couldn't wait to get back to our birth control. But our usual birth control was the least intrusive that we could get a hold of. I would not take hormones because I noticed that they had a really horrible effect on my moods and my health. And I mean, you know, if you're on the birth control pill and it's making you retain 15 pounds of water, you don't feel very sexy. So I get rid of those birth control pills, you know, so I can feel good about my body and have better control over my emotions because, you know, female hormones really can send you on quite a roller coaster ride. I didn't used to think I had PMS because my husband was always telling me I had PMS, and I thought he was just being sexist. So, but then we adopted a puppy, and the puppy told me I had PMS.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, okay, well, I know the dog's not sexist, so I guess I really do have a problem here.
Right.
And it was just a matter of, you know, everything was on a loudspeaker. It had an edge to it that I had no awareness of. I thought I was speaking the same, but, you know, those 24 hours, you know, right before ovulation, everything was on the loudspeaker. So the hormones have a huge effect on us, and if you are taking for a while I was trying to even my hormones out by taking birth control pills, and I wasn't taking them for birth control, I was taking them to try to normalize my hormones, and it just made it worse.
Yeah.
It was just horrible, and they have you go for like 3 months, they tell you, oh, well, you got to wait 3 months before it, you know, will normalize and even out, and it never did. I just think it's horrible what we put women through.
And
Constance made a really good point when she said, we have to do the pregnancy thing. That's enough stress on our bodies.
She's right.
Yeah, she really is.
She's totally right. And, you know, from being with my wife through the 9 months of each child and in the delivery room, you know, the miracle of birth is a miracle, but my wife has always said it's also hell. You know, she'd be the first person to say that. But from your experience with the hormone, the birth control hormonal things, you know, like you said, it's women go through enough stress physically and mentally. That's why, you know, I'm an advocate for vasectomy, obviously, as a means of birth control. But, you know, it's my advocacy is not just for the guy to go out and get laid whenever he wants, but it's also for the woman. Because it's you know, all that stuff you guys go through that we have absolutely no idea about is out the window with a vasectomy.
Well, I think it's, you know, I really, seriously, when you first started talking to me about this, I wasn't necessarily a big fan of it. I thought, yeah, okay, that's great. It's another option. That's wonderful.
Yeah,
but really didn't see all the ways in which it could lead to better sex for couples.
Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah, that's the whole. And it's not like this just came to me. You know, I'm just thinking about it and talking to people about it. And I'm like, you know what? There's more reasons to get a vasectomy. Not just so I don't get my wife pregnant. But if you look at it from a different, you know, outside the box thinking, so to speak, your intimacy increases. Of course, your sexuality increases, spontaneity increases. Like Constance says, you can have quickies whenever you want, without worrying about slapping on a condom or did I take my pill or whatnot. So if the intimacy increases, if the sex increases, if the bond increases, obviously it's going to have a major positive effect on the couple. It's just simple logic. all because of a vasectomy.
So I think you're on to something here. Tell our listeners how they can get a hold of your book.
You get a hold of my book at my website. It's www.vasectomycoach.com. And on the website, there's my blog. There's plenty of information about me. It's a fun website. I'm having some audio links put in, but the book is there, and there's an ebook download as well, and some other products. Because I've been asked by women now through the internet or just over the phone, hey, can you talk my husband into getting a vasectomy? So that's why I said to myself, you know what? Sure. I mean, and I have disclaimers out there because, you know, on the website and in the book too, because I'm not performing the vasectomy, and I advocate strongly do thorough research on your physician or your urologist. But, you know, I'm just putting information out there that I've experienced, you know, that's why I'm calling myself America's Vasectomy Coach, because number one, it doesn't exist, and number two, why not?
Well, you know what, Rob, I really think you actually deserve that title. You're not giving yourself enough credit, because after all the, you know, just this one conversation where I get to hear, you know, one woman's viewpoint on this, and you've spent hours and hours in chat rooms talking to women, I really think that you are an advocate for improving women's sex lives and the quality of their life. So I really applaud you.
Thank you. No, I got a very strong marriage with my wife. We've had our ups and downs. We've married 11 years, and it's just, you know, the advocacy that I have for this procedure is huge, because it's made us a lot closer, not just with the intimacy, but there's a psychological bond that's there. That, yeah, it was there before the kids there, before we had kids. It's there now, but it's been stronger since I've had this procedure done.
If
that makes sense. And
it totally makes sense. Before today's show, it really would not have made sense to me, but after hearing the woman's perspective, thank you, Constance, for adding so much to the show. I get it, and I'm even more of a fan than I was before. We're going to have to sign off now because we're out of time, but thank you so much. And once again, vasectomycoach.com.
Thanks
if you
so
want
much.
To find out how you can talk your husband into getting a vasectomy.
Thanks so much, Veronica. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob. Best of luck with the book.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me. Sering kesepian.